learning on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Bet of Masechet Brachot, the page before the end, halfway down the page.
That's 63B.
63B. And we learn this passage that said, Hasket Yisrael, Hasket Ushma Yisrael. So Hasket taught us, the first explanation of Hasket taught us that Hasket came from the word Osekitot, to make groups. So make groups to learn Torah. That's where you had a drush from that pasuk. Now, let's continue. Gemara and says, Kidurabi Yossi Barabi Chania. This that we just learned, right? What do we learn? We just learned that you should split into groups. Why? Because Lefisha Eina Torah Neknet Ella Bachavua. Because Torah is not acquired except in a group, except with other people. You can't really learn Torah by yourself. Even people who learn by themselves are not learning by themselves. They're either not learning at all, or they're actually learning with someone. So, for example, the Gedolim, like Rabbi Avodia, he's learning in Chavuta the whole time. You just don't see the Chavuta that he's learning with.
Okay, in the beginning, you were studying.
Huh?
In the beginning,
you have to learn.
You reach level.
But the acquisition of Torah, the practicing, and work to go over and to, you can do by yourself. But the real learning is done as we're being taught. It says, is with other people, with a chavuta, with chavura. Your feet? Okay, so Kedurabi Yossi Barabi Chanina. This is like what Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chanina, said. Damar Rabbi Yossi Barabi Chanina, because he said, My dichtev, what's that which is written in Yirmiyahu? Cherev el habadim v'na'alu. There will be a sword against those who are alone. V'na'alu. What's v'na'alu? So the Gemara explains, Cherev al sonehem shel tamidei hachamim. There is a sword against the enemies of Torah scholars. Here we're using the famous kinui. When we want to say something negative, we don't want to, but we have to say something negative about an Israel, we do it in the, right? We don't say the words that are negative. Why? Because words have power. Like we saw when Hashem spoke against Moshe and said, Yeshua's going to take your place if this happens. Once you say the words, they have power. They have meaning in the world. We don't know how powerful our own words are. All our prayers are very powerful. And even our stand words, even our, right, they have to be fulfilled. We're made in the image of God. God spoke and it was. He said there'll be light, there'll be light. And we're in the image of God. Baruch Hashem, we don't have the same power because we destroy everything. Right? But we still have, whatever we say has. I was sitting with a person yesterday, day before, 2 days ago. Let me tell you this story. Secular nudge, we've got time. Secular guy, Baruch Hashem, Bli Neder. I'm in the process of opening a new business. Baruch Hashem. Hashem should help to make it successful. So it's a Kirov business.
Amen.
Baruch Hashem, we're going to distribute the light of Rabbi Nachman's teaching, light of Rabbi Shalom's teaching. Anyway, so involved, I've rented a place and it needed some shibutzim. So I have a shibutz guy, I have a kablan. How did I get a kablan? Hashem sent me a kablan.
What's
a? A kablan, contractor, a guy who's going to do the building work, the stuff, the renovations. How did I find him? Tom. I was walking to the bus station, and just near the bus station, they've opened yet another of 400, a new one, shawarma bar. So I walked past the shawarma bar, and as I walked past, it caught my eye. I thought, well, this is nice. This is new. It's nice. I thought it was nice. I walked past it. Oh, this is nice. Yeah, that's what I need. I walked in, I said, who did your stuff? who did the shiput? And he said, oh, lovely guy. Jewish, nice. Yeah, let me give you his number. I'll call him now. Top, top. Anyway, called him there, top. I met with him. Sweet guy. So anyway, we sat, we chatted. So as we're sitting and chatting, he's not Dati. I'm not Dati, but my sister is, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you this story. So why did he tell me a story? Because this guy walked past looking for Sadaka. We're in the old city, Iratika. And a guy walked past looking for Sadaka. I put my hand in my pocket, I gave him 10 shekels. This guy's sitting with me. Thank you, guy. Takes out his wallet, gives him 100 shekels there. Anyway, guy gives him a big brocha, you should be blessed, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, thank you very much. And he said, this time last year, just before Pesach, he says to me, I just finished doing a job. And it was a big job, Baruch Hashem. I got a good profit off it. But there was one condition that the client put on me, is that I had to give Maaseh for my profit. I said, oh, it was a good profit. So my Maaseh came to 5,000 shekels. So it must have been like 50,000 profit. So 5,000 shekel. So he said to me, I was very happy to do it. He said, I try and give Maaseh, not all the time, but I try and give when I can give. So I thought, this is a nice sum. It should go to like a family or someone that needs it. So he said to himself, so my sister, she's Dati, she's going to know someone who's worthwhile to give it to. So I went to see my sister and I knocked on the door. She wasn't there. So it was just coming up to Pesach and I wanted to, he said in his words, to get it off my hands. Right? I wanted to like do the mitzvah, zuizim the mitzvah. So I thought to myself, so then it occurred to me that her next door neighbor is also a from guy. I don't know them, but I see them occasionally when I come to see my sister. And he seems like a nice, you know, hush of a guy, an important, serious guy. I'll go and ask him. He's bound to know someone. So knock on the next door neighbor's door. And the wife answers. And so I say to her, is your husband in? And she says, no. Is there a problem? And they said, no. He takes out an envelope. Can you give this to your husband and tell him he can give it to whoever he feels is appropriate to give? Okay. So he says to me, so I handed her the envelope and she burst into tears. You okay? What's happened? And she says to me, do you mind if it's okay with you? Can we use it for ourselves?
Just thinking that when you said that originally.
Yeah, sure. Why? So she said, it's nearly Pesach, and we haven't been able to buy anything at all. We've got nothing for Pesach. She said, yeah, sure, take. And he's telling the story, and he's like welling up. He says, even now, like a year later, I'm still, right? I'm still, and he's telling me, Baruch Hashem, he's telling me, Askacha, that's it. And he was there, just happened to be there, and if I would have given it to the husband, for sure, you would have given it to someone else. And he's telling, right? I can't remember why I told you that story, but... I think I just wanted to tell you the story, but what were you learning? I tell you the story. So anyway, so he's there. So we're talking. So we're having a nice chat. Anyway, he gets a call from someone, like I think his brother. He's calling him Achi. Could have been his friend. It could have been Achi. So he's like either his brother or his friend. People call their friends Achi, brother in Hebrew. So anyway, either way, he was like, yeah, and he was like, he was like tired, whatever. And he said the words, I don't want to repeat them because that's what we're talking about, he said the words that he is dead. It's an expression to say when you're completely, like you're tired, really tired, you say, I am, right? So he said, yeah, I'm really, right? And he said it like twice. This other fruit guy walks past, stops, taps him on the shoulder, says, no, you're not, you're atalomet, tabemet lomet. And he's on the phone speaking in the middle of a conversation, and this front guy stops him to tell him to not say that. Imagine, it's right. Yeah. It's not that you don't say, right, you don't speak out. Anyway, so Baruch Hashem, he's a really sweet guy. And he's starting today, Bli Neder, on the work. Chick chack. I said, how long is it going to take? Ah, 2 weeks. I'm like, 2 weeks. Sort everything out. Mamash ben Hashemayim.
Listeners start to do it. She goes very good. She said, Hashem, I want my Tomi, my Monam, Pitachon. Give me, not direct, she said, not the test, but. Yeah, and then she goes to the dentist, and she comes back. And the dentist says, oh, you fix all the teeth, and this one 40,000 shekels. I said, this is a good test. Now you have 40,000 shekels. So I said, oh, yeah, not ask Hashem the test.
Oh, Hashem. Top. So
you can ask Hashem to do the test.
Well, what were you were saying yesterday, no?
Yeah, yeah.
That was you in the shoe yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we're saying.
Oh, yeah.
He was talking about, well, he gave the example of Parnassah, right, that a person...
Yeah,
Rabbi Jor. Rabbi Jor in the shoe yesterday said
that
to test me on my emunah, meaning you shouldn't be tested on your emunah. You should never ask for a test. Right, David and Melech failed with Bathsheba because they asked for a test. Right, so carefully. Depends how. Like with everything, you have to be. Right.
But now you have. You can buy a car with this. I'm not sure. So now you have to trust him.
Rabbi Eliezer, from the top.
Banditos.
Like what?
Banditos.
Banditos?
Banditos. Banditos is for.
Bandits.
Bandits.
Oh, I see. They should look around, ask around.
That's why most people there, in a regular level, they can never go to campus. How do they? They want this, make contact in any way every month. They not start one job, they want all the, you may say, okay, you make all the job, then you go.
Lawyer there, don't know what Hashem you should. Hashem doesn't give us any tests that we can't stand in. Everyone has their own particular test.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just wondering whether I should put that story on the web, have it typed up for inspiration.
Okay,
I mean, if anyone knows any more stories, it'd be really great.
Lots. We could spend the whole day.
No, I mean, like, seriously. I mean, I could have a whole page of stories. I mean, imagine what inspiration people get from that.
Yeah. You're right.
Story from the Isha is nice too.
Okay, so let's continue a little bit more. We're going to try and finish tomorrow with Rav Hashem.
See you.
Maybe we're going to switch Rav Dror. Going to reach Rav Dror to see what he wants to do about the Siyum, but it might be that we'll do the Siyum tomorrow, because there's already a Siyum tomorrow for the Shloshim of Rabbi Hanan. He's got his Shloshim, so they're doing a Siyum anyway on Masachet Beitza, so maybe we'll just join in and have a bigger Siyum. The Rav Am Hadrat HaMelech.
What time? Is there any connection between the Siyum and Hanan, or just
Yeah, well, to do it at the same time. He wanted to do something for the Shloshim, so to...
What time?
So they're not sure what time they're going to start. They might do it at 10 or 9:45. Depends on us, because we can finish for 9:30, because we've only got a little bit left. But that's assuming it depends. We've got another half an hour we can finish, unless I start giving more stories, in which case we won't. But
it would be nice if we could print out the English, write down the English stories, so I could put on the web.
The English what?
Your stories.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm already doing Yaakov Bar Nachman's website. I'm already doing Yeshua Goldstein's website. I'm already pulling stuff off from the web. I've already put your pamphlet about Uman on the web.
Okay.
I've already done Tikkun and Kali on the web.
Top. All right. So let's talk about it later. So let's learn a bit. So what are we saying now? So Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Hanina, what he said confirms the earlier learning in the Gemara. The learning of the Gemara was that a person acquires Torah kitot by learning in groups, by learning with a chabura. And that's what Rabbi Yossi son of Rabbi Chanina said. Why? Because he took the pasuk cherev al habadim no'alu, it will be sword against those who are alone, the no'alu, and said about that there will be a sword cherev al sonehem shel tamidei chachamim, there will be a sword against the enemies of the tamidei chachamim, the Torah scholars. And we said here that the word enemies is in brackets, right? It's only so that we don't say anything negative about Jews. So there's a sword against the enemies of the Torah scholars. Why? Sheyoshvim bad bavad ba'oskim b'Torah, because they sit each one alone and they engage in Torah study. When they sit alone, they have a sword on against them, right? They have a judgment on them. Swords hanging over them, because it's not appropriate to learn Torah by yourself.
What about review?
So for sure, there are times when you do learn Torah by yourself, but not at the expense of, if you're in a Beit Midrash and you've got the opportunity to learn in a Chavruta, and you're choosing not to because you want to learn yourself, and I can learn more by myself, and there's no one here who's good enough to learn with me, and all that, right? All that stuff. Then Torah the Sam Mavet, right? You're learning for your own Gava, it's not appropriate, etc. Not acquiring Torah, you're... Right? So it depends. So here, what do you say here? Also here, there's no one to correct them when they make a mistake. It's very easy to make a mistake when you're learning by yourself. You just assume that something is, this is obviously what it means. You're reading, oh, I understand what that means. You really don't. You made a very simple error. If you're learning with a chabura, that wouldn't have happened. Okay? Ketiv chacha, oh no, hold on, I missed a line. V'lo od, and not only that, ela she mitafshim, they also become foolish, right, because they make mistakes. When they learn alone, they make mistakes, so they become foolish, because they start to learn the wrong results, the wrong laws, the wrong whatever meanings. Ketiv hacha v'no'alu, it's written over here, what we just read, v'no'alu. The Ketiv Hacha Hatam, and it's also written over there in a different place, Asher No'alnu. Where's over there? So over there is in a pasuk where let's read the pasuk. Vayoma Aaron el Moshe, Bi Adoni el Na Tashet Aleinu Chatat Asher No'alnu Va'Asher Chatanu. So Aaron said to Moshe, please my master, do not place upon us guilt for that which we acted foolishly and that which we have sinned. Right? Aaron goes to ask forgiveness from Moshe for speaking Lashon Hara about him with Miriam. Right? So here, Asher No'alnu is to act foolishly. So we see that the word No'alu, when used in the passage concerning Torah scholars, that there's a sword on the enemies of the Torah scholars, that they also become foolish. The lo'od, not only that, ela shechotchim, also people who learn by themselves are likely to sin as well. Right? Why? Because when they learn by themselves, they're going to learn the wrong halakha. They're going to misunderstand the halakha, and they're going to get it wrong, and they're going to sin. Shenema, because it says in the pasuk, Asher Chatanu, right? In the pasuk about Aaron, when Aaron's saying to Moshe, No'alnu v'chatanu, we acted foolishly and we sinned. No?
They spoke with Lashon Hara, Miriam and Aaron.
Yeah.
Only Miriam was punished. Because he makes sure of this guy?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that, why it wasn't Miriam was punished. Maybe that Miriam started it. I think Miriam came to Aaron and said, I think it was Miriam that spoke. Aaron listened to it, Nachon, so he was also, but I think maybe, I don't know if this is true, if this is the right answer, or that he made sure. it wasn't appropriate to give, because he was the Kilu, the Kohen Gadol, and he was needed if you can't put him outside the camp for 7 days. Maybe it wasn't Kavod. I'm not sure. Okay. But Ibai Tema, alternatively, Mehafa, you can learn it from here. You can learn the association of between foolishness and sinning from a different place. No'alu Sarei Son. What's that pasuk? So that pasuk is in Yeshaya, and it says over there, No'alu Sarei Son. The nobles of Son, it's a place, have become foolish.
Sarim,
the big people, right? And the verse continues and said they led Egypt astray. Since going astray is synonymous with sinning, we see that Noalu is also associated with sin. Because in this passage, the word Noalu is associated with Kilu going off the derech, going astray. So we see that Noalu also has a connotation of sinning. So a person who learns by himself, a Torah scholar who has a sword over over his neck, is liable to become foolish and to sin as well.
Also used today in the Hebrew, like Maseh No'al, it's like something bad action.
Oh yeah?
No'al.
Okay. Dvar acher, another thing, another way of learning, another thing we can learn. Hasket Ushma Yisrael. From that pasuk which we learned, Hasket Shema Yisrael. Something else we can learn from there. What's that? Katatu Atzmechem Al Divrei Torah. Katatu. First we learned kat, aser kat. And now we're learning katatu, a different verb with the same letters, katatu. Here katatu means to grind yourself. Grind yourself over the words of Torah. What does that mean? It means to really work, to really put yourself, right? You have to grind
like
your head.
Katit.
Katit, right?
Like
Shemen Zai Katit. To be yafet. To be really, to be like oil, right? Am Yisrael are like an olive, right? You've got to squeeze them to get the oil out. The same with true love. You've got to squeeze us like an olive to get the oil, which is the wisdom, out of our brain. It's in there. You just need to grind and squeeze till it comes out. All the answers are in there. Mm-hmm. Right? The understandings, all the Gemara, the entire, the whole, all the Rishonim, all the Kabbalah, it's all in there. We got taught the whole thing.
All means to be humble.
It's in there inside. We just need to get it out. Yeah?
To become humble.
Which?
Dust.
Yes. What does?
When you study Torah, because you come with arrogance with Torah, you have your own
Nachon.
Grind yourself to like dust.
A person has to be humble in order to get that stuff out. Why? Because that stuff only comes out when I realize that I don't know.
Right?
That I know nothing. If I think I know, then I don't go further. If you're digging for treasure, and you think you found the treasure after you've dug a little bit under the surface, you stop digging. This is good. You found some gold coins and everything's good. I dug a little bit. I found some. What I realize is, forget though, the gold coins are nothing. Keep digging and you're going to find something huge. But you have to dig and dig. So that's like us. Like, we learn Torah and I apply my brain a little bit. I got the general understanding. So I stop there. But it's not. The truth is, if I keep going, there's levels and levels and levels, and I don't know what I'm going to find. Each more is more sweeter, right? The first thing is, it's quite nice. Yeah, I've got a general understanding, a general flavor. But the more I work, and the more I dig, I'm going to find beautiful peyushim, beautiful diamonds, by not stopping, not saying that that's it. I've now found it. I've got the understanding. I know what this is talking about. Don't need to go anymore. I'm good. I now know. I'm good. You don't know. That's, you can stop. No, I know. No, I've got it. No, I haven't got it. What I've got is I have to throw that out and say, no, there's more here. There's more. It's not. There's something not right. There's something still. If I've got that tan, there's something still bothering me. So I need to learn more and more, because that thing that's still bothering me is my indication, is my shovel that's hitting something. There's something still down there. There's something there. And I feel that it's not sitting exactly well. So I should keep digging and digging and digging. I'm going to pull out. Amazing things. Yofi. So, grind yourselves over the words of Torah. Grind away in our brain. Kedemara l'Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish said. Demara Reish Lakish, minayin she'ein divrei Torah mit kaimim, ela b'mi she'mei mit, that's mo'aleha. How do you know that the words of Torah will not stay, they will not remain, they will not be retained? Ela, except b'mi she'mei mit atzmo. Person who kills himself over Torah. Shinem Ma'abik says in the Pasuk, Zota Torah Adam Ki Yamut Ba'ahod. This is the Torah of a person that kills himself in a tent. Man that dies in a tent. The pshat is, the Torah is teaching us the law of the person that dies in a tent. The laws of Tumah. If you die in the tent, everything in the tent becomes Tameh, right? The Ohel, we learned that law, right? So on the pshat is, but what does it mean to be in a tent? The tent is a tent of Torah. That's where they learn Torah. It means in the Beit Midrash. So this is the law, the person, the Torah who wants to... This is the Torah of the person who dies in a tent, means who kills himself in the Beit Midrash, so to speak. Who grinds away...
They
kill themselves at Torah? Everybody does it to a certain extent. Just depends how much. Right? The reward is according to the effort. So if you're like Rabbi Yeshua Cohen, and you, right, so you're going to end up like Rabbi Yeshua Cohen. And if you're like Reuven Levy, you end up like Reuven Levy. Right? And everyone ends up according to the effort they put in. I'm now putting in more effort than I did before. So I'm now learning a bit more than I ever did before.
Maybe you can reach more.
For sure. There's no end. There's no limit. There's no limit. Ain't soft. Right? So it just depends how much.
Draw attention to the story. One guy comes to Yeshua by and study all day, and all day he has his earphones on, his ears, and he doesn't know, no one knows what this guy's listening to, but he's really going and going and going. And one night they see that he fell asleep on the Beit Midrash, and his friends came in the morning and they found him.
So they
took the earphones off his ears. No, they were off his ears. They were next day. He took them off. And they fell off while he was sleeping. And so the next morning they put it on to see what he's listening to. And it says, breathe, breathe, breathe.
Yofi. So that's kill yourself over Torah.
Right?
Everyone needs to, we can't be, everything is a narrow bridge. Meaning what? Even when we like kill ourselves over Torah, a person has to be, there's a narrow bridge. You can go to the right, to the left. A person can kill themselves over Torah, burn themselves out, and you'll be finished. Right? Rabbi Dor talks about it a lot. You do too much. Yitzhara says, stay in the Beit Midrash, learn more. Right? You do, and that's it. You never come back. Because your body can't take it. You're trying to break yourself, and it's going to break you. Right, that's not the job, to break ourselves. We don't have the power to do that. Some people do. Hashem gives some people the power but a person has to know their own ability. My ability is not to break myself in the brain, but it's not my ability.
Passed away before you
reached
it.
Okay.
So it means
Does it mean no? My taklit in life may not be to be a Talmid Chacham.
No,
so I don't have to learn. My taklit is to work on whatever I need to. I came down here because Shem wants me to fix my arrogance, my selfishness, or whatever it is. Which may involve, it's important I'm in the Beit Midrash, but it's not important for me, for example, might not be important for me to be learning 8 hours, 10 hours a day. It's not my taklit in life. I've got other things to do. I've got other things to fix. Maybe, maybe not. or maybe that I can, you can also do it. Yes. Also through Torah, right? We learned that the Rab Yeshua Cohen, he made Tikkun HaBrit just through learning Torah. You can fix everything through learning Torah. If you're learning like Rabbi Yeshua Cohen, everything gets cleaned, right? The fire of Torah cleans you completely from head to toe, all your bad midot, everything, and he didn't do nothing, so to speak, right? So there's the different routes. Or you can break your head in the Beit Midrash, or you can chas v'shalom break your head outside, or you can sweat there, like Rav Jor said yesterday. You can either sweat over here or you can sweat over there. Either way, you're going to come to your tikkun. You've got the easy way or the hard way.
But if a guy learns Torah,
there's no new head.
This is to an extent.
Okay, now you sweat.
Nachon, but I choose whether I accept. If I accept sweating in the yeshiva, I accept it. You're right, I didn't choose the air condition, but I choose whether I say, okay, Torah, I'll live with it, or I say, I'm not staying here, no air condition, and I walk out. So that's my choice.
Okay, let's say they make it downside, they have a clima. They're not sweating.
Okay.
So they've already taken. Maybe they're
not. Hashem gave the yeah, people. They don't need that. They have something different that they're going to sweat over. They have something, some other problem.
So means
they have the guy next to them who's learning with fire in their ear, and he's trying to learn Gemara, and all day long this guy next to him is and you can't learn, so he's got to suffer that. And Hashem says to him, either buy yourself earphones or study anyway, and that's your difficulty. You know, you have to have, everyone has whatever they need for themselves.
If a guy learns Torah,
yeah,
but I think about the midis, about the tefillah, also tefillah and midis.
Yeah.
So
Nachon, it's not going to help. It's not going to help. Nachon, because his Torah is not real Torah.
I think the Gemara says that something like very
severe
words.
Nachon.
Nevelat Torah imeno and things like that.
Yeah. No, it's really Nachon. It's worse than not learning Torah. You're not also working on your midot, then the Torah is very damaging.
Because what will happen, that it's only bring you, like that you're so, I'm a great scholar, I'm a great, ani adam gadol.
Person who learns Torah without working on their midot just gets a lot of arrogance, a lot of gava. They think that they're a great Torah scholar, and they destroy themselves. They ruin their life, ruin the lives of other people as well, fortunately. Okay, so let's go back. So this is what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish said, this thing that you have to grind yourself like an olive is similar, is we also learn out from the passage, the law of the one who kills himself in the tent, right? Meaning that the person who kills himself in the Beit Midrash, so to speak. He works very hard in Torah study. Devar Acher, another thing, Haskat, Hasket Shema Yisrael, listen up, Am Yisrael, Hasket. We can also say from this word, has va'achar kach katet. First has and then katet.
Who said it?
This one is the Gemara. No one. We haven't got a Tana who's saying it. The Gemara is saying
this is what the Gemara said. Hasket. This is the.
No, that's from a pasuk. That's a pasuk in the Torah, in Devarim.
But this explanation cut that word to has,
is just the Gemara. The Gemara is speaking, and then we're going to see that Rava agrees with it, but the Gemara is introducing it and saying that that this also means has v'charkach katet. First be silent, has, and then afterwards, v'charkach, grind it up. So the way of learning Torah. So all of these are ways to learn Torah, right? To split into groups, to grind yourself, to study really hard. And this teaching is first to be silent and then to grind it up. The way of acquiring Torah is just to listen, be silent, hear what the teacher is saying, hear what your chavrut is saying, consider it, and then chew it over. Don't start analyzing, checking it, fighting against it, arguing in your head, coming up with your rebuttal before you've heard it, what he said. Hear him out, then think about it. Da'amar k'drabba, like what Rabba said. Da'amar rabba l'olam yomod adam Torah v'achar kach yageh. Always a person should learn Torah, and then only afterwards, yageh. Yageh means to consider it, to analyze it. First learn the pshat. Yeah, to go into it, to worry about it. First learn the pshat, right, which is a good way of learning Torah. First learn the words of the Gemara. I have no idea what it's talking about, but let's just learn the words, what we're saying, and then we'll come back and try and actually think about what it means. Amre Debei Rabbi Yanai. They said in the Academy of Rabbi Yanai, my dichtiv, what's that thing which is written in Mishle? Ki mitzchalav yotzi chema, for the squeezing of milk yields butter. Umitz af, and the squeezing of anger, not the squeezing of your nose, the squeezing of anger, yotzi dam, yields blood. Umitz apayim, and the squeezing of apayim, which is like even stronger anger, double anger, it says here. Af apayim, it's like the plural of af. If af is single anger, then apayim is double anger. Yotzi riv, yields a dispute. What does that mean? So they taught in the Academy of Rabbi Yanai, what does that mean? B'mi atam motzei chema shel Torah, in whom do you find the, so to speak, the butter of Torah? B'mi shem meki chalav sheyanek mishtei imo aleha. In one who meki literally means to throw up, to regurgitate the milk he nursed from the breast of his mother over Torah. What does that mean? It means that the Torah he learned is like mother's milk, right? You say it's like that you learn the Torah, it's like mother's milk. It's like nourishes you. It gives you life. You're like, I'm like a baby that knows nothing. I have nothing. I have no ability to do anything. I need to be fed. And I'm being fed Torah. That's my life. And what do I need to do? Kilo, I need to regurgitate it like milk. And that yields butter. Regurgitated milk, squeezed milk, yields butter. That's going to turn it into, I guess, butter as a connotation of oil, of wisdom, of something good. And what's the next bit? Umitz af yotzi dam. What does it mean that when you squeeze, the squeezings of anger yield blood? What does that mean? Kol tamid shekoes alav rabo. Any student shekoes alav rabo, when his teacher is angry with him, pam rishona, the first time, shotek, and he remains silent, zocheh lavchin bein dam tamei bein dam tahor, he merits to distinguish, right, between blood which is tamei and blood which is pure. This is Torah Vav, Likutei Moran, the Torah of repentance, tshuva, Torah Vav, talks about hearing your rebuke and yishtok vidom. And what does that do? It purifies the blood. It's real teshuva. And a person stays quiet. Here we have one of the sources for what he was talking about, right? That when a person is the Rebbe's angry at him and he stays quiet, doesn't say anything, right? It purifies his blood. From the pure, it takes out the impure blood, right? We need to make a separation between the pure and the impure, right? That's our whole job in the world, is to take out the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara that's mixed up with us from the sin of Adam, and it got moved inside. And our job is to undo that sin by taking it back outside. Right? Our job is not to get rid of the Yetzirah. There was always a snake. There was a snake in the Garden of Eden. Right? Hashem made the snake in the Garden of Eden. And that was fine. It was still Gan Eden. It was perfect. There was no problem with that. Right? There was such a thing as evil, but it was external. It was in a snake. You knew it was evil. It's evil. You leave it alone. It's not part of you. Yofi. Always a problem. It came inside. We need to undo that and separate it back out again. So that's the job of seeing, partially, that our Yetzirah is not part of us. We think that we're bad, I'm no good, I'm bad, I messed up, I did... All shtuyot. Rabbi Arish teaches again and again, we have to learn that's not me. It's not me. It's not part of me. I'm good. I'm a holy neshama. There is something that is bad. You're free, wonderful. I'm not saying it's good, I'm not pretending. It's a Yetzirah, it's very bad, but it's not me. When I do the job of separating out the Yetzirah, saying, that's the Yetzirah, it's not me. You're right. I have a Yetzirah, but it's not me. It's my Yetzirah. Welcome to my Yetzirah. Hello. It's not me. My Yetzirah. Hashem gave it to me. Came inside me, and I want it out. Hashem, you take it away. Right? So that separating is undoing the Chet HaRishon, when it got all mixed together, and I think now I'm bad. Right, and this is the purifying the blood. Bein tam tahem, dam tamei, dam tahor. In the blood, the blood is where is our life force. It's all mixed up. There's bad, good blood and bad blood, which is why physiologically the blood gets purified all the time, gets pumped around all the time, and purified. And that's what they used to do. They used to take blood out in order to, right? And here we see that what separates, this is a spiritual thing, what separates between the bad blood to get it out? Staying quiet when you get rebuked. Emunah, knowing it's from Hashem.
At Shabbat, we read something, and I thought of what they were talking about. It was a problem went back to Adam Rishon. What was the problem with Adam Rishon?
Yeah.
Is that it was only good. Everything was good, and he wasn't able to make a kesher to Hashem because everything was good in the world.
Okay.
Therefore, he had to give him. Therefore, the first the sin had to take place.
Okay.
So everything was good, but he wasn't making his kesher. He realized that everything was good because it's not bad.
Right.
So the purpose of the spiritual of the sin was that in the hadid nachash seduce chava. Did this by telling her that you're not allowed to eat. To eat. He said, you can't eat from the tree because you become like God. You'll be told all right. And actually, God wanted this to happen because he knew that Adam needed to know that this told all right. It's not only good; it's also bad. And without bad, you can't do any tikkun. You don't seek Hashem. Therefore, he gave him. This I'm talking even before Chava was separated or created,
yeah.
Is everything was good. He was like God. But he didn't know it. He didn't make any kesher to God.
Okay.
So he needed a wife to be able to help him with the tikkun and let him know through the sin that there is tov hara.
You're right. Although we can also say that he didn't have to do that, and he could have learned the same lesson just from the fact that he got the commandment not to eat. And the commandment that not to eat means there's something that you can't do, there's something that's bad. Don't eat that. You're not allowed to do that. That one commandment, according to one understanding, that would have been enough. If you would have understood that and prevented himself. But he had the test. He was given the test. Hashem sent the snake. Right? Everything's from Hashem. Hashem sent the snake to test him.
When did he say this? Before Chava or after Chava?
To what?
That he from the tree.
Before. They both had.
Before.
Right. So they had that test. And if they would have stood up to that test, then they would have had that good and bad and resisting from good and good back. But because they didn't resist the one thing, then we had 2,000 years now split up. Kilu. It was like a huge, huge test. Because that test now had to be split up into 2,000 years worth of 6 million Jews all doing their little piece of it in order to rectify it. It must have been that it equaled all of that in one test. We couldn't do it in one go. So we're going to have to break it up into little bits, and through the little bits, we're going to do it all. Maybe.
Further, I went that Matan Torah was supposed to be a tikkun for Chet Rishon, that they heard God speaking to them and everything, everyone like returned to Gan Eden and pure again.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you have Chet HaEgel, because once again you need a Tovarah in the world. They immediately did something bad.
But it depends. I agree to a extent, but I'm not sure I can agree with you said that you needed it. You needed it in the world.
If everything was good.
If you accepted it, no, because we would have, because we could, at all of these points, we could have finished. We could have said, this is the thing, finish here. But because we didn't finish, then you're right. Then at that point, we needed to have the hetereg, or we needed to have all that. But at each point, we it was only the result of the bad choice.
Originally, man was created alone. There was a reason for
that. And so, if he could have accepted, if he could have accepted that, then he wouldn't have had.
There wouldn't have been anyone.
He wouldn't have had Chava, and he wouldn't have had the test in the same way, because Chava caused him the problem, right? So, if he would have accepted the fact that Hashem made him the way he made me, and he didn't say to Hashem, "I need someone. Look, I'm alone here. I need to have a right." If he would have accepted the situation as is, then he wouldn't have had Chava, and Chava wouldn't have caused it, right? And it would have been a lot easier. So. It's all.
We all learn that you have to have a wife in order to.
Now we do, but then not. Hashem made everything perfect, and a man comes along and says, "There's something missing, Hashem. I like what you've done. It looks great. I like all this flower, bees, and birds, and trees, and yuck. But I'm missing something. This isn't right." And Hashem said, "Tom, I'll make you a." Right, but
spiritually it was complete.
What happened? The problem. Where the problem was, because
he didn't realize he had it.
Nahon. So that was obvious. Kilu, that's his first test. If he would have said everything's great, whatever you do, Hashem is great, wonderful. So fine, we're in Gan Eden, we're staying. He would have been just man and Hashem, and you'll be everything's great.
Yeah.
Why not? But once he creates. Two Jews, three opinions. So once you create another entity, it's going to have its own opinion. I like what you've done, but maybe we could just make some changes here. Tov, Bezrat Hashem, we may finish tomorrow the Masechet.
But Hashem is only half.
Huh?
Only half side from our story.
Yes.
So we missed the woman side.
Yeah, we were whole. We were complete.
Adam and Eve was great first.
Yeah. Nachon.
He was complete.
Nachon.
This world we know, we're not complete.
All right. Because Adam effectively was saying he wanted a job to do. He was saying, "You made me complete. You made me whole. You made me a complete soul." I'm bored, Kilo. Right, split me into two, and then we can join, and then we can complete.
Him in two parts.
Huh?
Hashem created two parts.
Nachon.
So
he learned from that. He saw that. And he learned from that. Because he didn't need to. Right, he didn't realize he didn't need that. But he was saying, "I also want a job to do here. Make me in two halves, and then we'll join together, and then we'll be a whole. We'll have something to do here. We'll be like a."
You make a
And now that, but once he Kilo asked for the test, right? It all fits together, right? Once he asked for the test, he didn't need compassion.
So why Hashem making it? Who said that he needed a wife?
Hashem said.
No, he said.
The Midrash says he said.
He made it. I don't know.
Ah.
I'm trying to say that God realized that
Adam. God realized? God makes man, and then he thinks, you know what? There's something missing.
Huh? That he made a mistake?
No.
We have that. Rashi says. You say well about when he created the big tiny new. Rashi says, or someone says that he made a mistake. It doesn't say kitov with the tiny new. It says And whatever day.
Yeah, okay, but I have to understand what mistake is, because Hashem doesn't make it.
Hashem
doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't do mistakes.
Only because he killed one of them. He killed the female.
Yeah.
That in the Rashi, it says it. It's
hard to understand. You're right, because it's like saying that he created the world with Emet, and then he saw that Emet couldn't stand by itself, because the truth couldn't stand by itself, so he had to create mercy in order to temper truth. Right? So what does it mean that he saw that it couldn't stand? He knew. It's hard to.
We
want to know
that everything's good.
Right.
A man sometimes forgets a shit. That's one of the problems. Everything's good, everything's going great, what do I need a shit for? It's one of the reasons for a person's downfall. So that was with that. Everything was good. So why should he make a kesher? And that was the purpose he was down here for. Was the purpose of man, as God created man, to have a kesher between what's up above and what's down below.
Why? So we don't know
that's the purpose of man.
Not necessarily.
You know, the world's purpose, God created the world for man.
The heart, so for
what? To be a kesher between God.
No, but it has, yeah, but it doesn't mean that's the purpose.
No.
Doesn't mean that that's the purpose.
Everyone says that the purpose of, not everyone, the Rambam, the world says that the tachlit of the Adam is to live kesher
l'ashem. Ah, is to l'hakir. It's not l'kesher, it's l'hakir.
If you didn't.
So Zohar says l'hakir, to know Hashem. No, different than say l'kasher. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. It's the purpose and the reason to know Hashem. Because you can't l'kasher Hashem. That's the problem. That's the problem that Rabbi Akiva found when he was darshaning out the etz. Nachon, and he said you can't connect yourself to Hashem. So this etz doesn't work. And then along came Rabbi Akiva and said. The Ant means the Torah scholars. You can't connect yourself to Hashem, so you have to connect yourself to Torah scholars instead. Right? So you can't catch Kilo. To know, Lahakir,
yeah. Adam definitely didn't have any Torah scholars.
He was himself. He was the Torah scholar that he should have listened to connect himself, to be in the Sadik within him. I don't know, these all. Ideas that are hard ideas, but for us to try and grasp them.
The only way Hashem makes shuvah is because he makes the moon smaller. No, it's
not.
It's Megamara.
It says, but to us, you're right.
This is why we have Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah.
Right, okay.